Thank you, Jonga, and a blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, March 28th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
President Robert Mugabe pleads with Japanese investors to do business with Harare.
The president is the head of state in government. He goes to Japan and meet the leader of the Japanese country. It's quite significant because that's how you unlock investments in Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe has been urged to craft laws for the economic empowerment of people with disabilities.
Most people living with disabilities walk in streets, sit alongside roads, begging for money, and so on. So if we start our own things, it will be better.
And the Zimbabwe Warriors thrash Swaziland in an Africa Nations Cup match.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
President Robert Mugabe, who is on a five-day state visit to Japan, has pleaded with the East Asian country's investors to do business with Harare. Mr. Mugabe arrived in Japan Sunday after a stopover in Singapore, where he regularly travels for medical attention. At a joint press conference today with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, according to the Japan Times, President Mugabe invited Japanese companies to invest heavily in his mineral-rich country. The president said, quote, Zimbabwe's doors are open to the Japanese investors and they should look forward to a mutually rewarding relationship with us, end quote. In return, Mr. Abe pledged to give Zimbabwe about $5 million to fund a road project. He also added that Japan will assist Zimbabwe in tackling the growing food crisis.
The two leaders are also expected to talk about reforms of the United Nations and the 6th Tokyo International Conference on African Development in Kenya in August. Earlier in the day, President Mugabe and his wife Grace met with Japanese Emperor Akihito and Empress Michiko. Economists, though, are warning that Mr. Mugabe's call for foreign investment in Zimbabwe is being overshadowed by his cabinet's decision to force foreign-owned companies that are not complying with the Indigenization Act to close shop by April 1st. The law compels all foreign-owned companies to surrender a 51% stake to indigenous blacks. Economist Dr. Gift Mugano, a University of Zimbabwe lecturer and senior economic advisor to the government of Zimbabwe under the Adam Smith International Zimbabwe Project, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that Mr. Mugabe's visit to Japan is significant.
What you need to take note is that the president is the head of state in government. He goes to Japan and meet the leader of the Japanese country. It's quite significant because that's how you unlock investments in Zimbabwe. I'm sure you appreciate that Japan is a powerhouse in the Asian continent. So, of late, we have seen a number of companies from Japan investing in Zimbabwe, for example, in the paint industry. And I believe those meetings, naturally, if head of state meet companies also dance in the same way, in the same tune. So it's quite important because that's how you bring in thoughtful investment. It's direct targeting for investors, unlike a situation where you are marketing yourself without that closer collaboration of senior officials of the country.
But some economists are concerned that the pronouncement by the Indigenization Minister, Patrick Joao, that some companies might lose their licenses for failure to comply with the indigenization law might actually scare away investors.
Yes, you're quite right. I am also concerned. You see, there are a number of issues which need to be addressed properly. One, we are using multiple currency regimes. So under that environment, you can only get money when you get foreign direct investment into this country. You can get money as cash again when you export, or you get money from remittances, and fourth, you get money from aid. But the chances of us to get money from aid are very limited. because of debt overhang. So if you the move by government to close the company by 1st of April is quite unfortunate if it happens. My point has been very clear. There's no investor who wants to invest in a country where companies are being closed. Some of the companies are already in a confused situation. They don't know whether to continue the business or to close the company. So I don't think government want to be caught in a situation whereby they are finishing an already ailing person, helping that person to commit suicide.
That was economist Dr. Gift Mugano, a University of Zimbabwe lecturer and senior economics advisor to the government of Zimbabwe under the Adam Smith International Zimbabwe Project. Mpilo Central Hospital, one of Zimbabwe's largest referral hospitals, closed down its outpatients department last week following industrial action by junior doctors. However, clinical director Dr. Solwayo Ngwenya confirmed the development but played down the effects of the strike, saying the institution will reopen tomorrow. The hospital, which caters mainly for the southern region, that is Bulawayo, Midlands, Maswingo, Matabeleland, North and South provinces, is also a training institution for doctors and nurses. Those affected are mainly chronic ailment patients and others referred from various districts. Because of the ongoing impasse between the Health Services Board and junior doctors over their contracts, the only doctor who was manning the department is said to have quit. Ngwenya told Studio 7 that tomorrow the outpatients department will be open for business, although doctors said they were not going to sign the new contract.
Meanwhile, the Health Services Board has just availed a contract for the junior doctors, indicating that they will get a total salary package of $895 per month, including allowances. But the doctors have vowed not to take it, urging that it violates their rights as workers. Studio 7 failed to reach Hospital Doctors Association President Fortune Nyamande and the Health Ministry for a comment. The doctors are demanding clarity in their contracts relating to issues like failing college examinations, among other issues. But MDCT spokesman Obed Gutu tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that the government should just give in to the doctors' demands, as it was the ordinary people who were suffering.
We are very, very concerned by the reluctance by the ZANU-PF government to give in to the very reasonable demands that are actually being put across by the junior doctors. Because when you move around the country, when you go to some of the country's major referral hospitals like Parere Nyatwa, Harare Hospital Gomo, you go to Mpilo, you go to Gweru General, Mutare General, you go to Mashingo General, you realize that these junior doctors work so hard. These young men and women literally work their socks off for peanuts. So as a Labour-backed party, we naturally are inclined towards protecting the interests of the workers. And these junior doctors are workers. So we call upon the government to seriously look into their very reasonable demands.
How do you view the impact, if any, of the strike by these junior doctors?
Jonga, the impact is devastating. As you know, the majority of the people who use these public hospitals are as the people who are about 90% of the population of Zimbabwe. There are reports that the outpatients department at Mupilo General Hospital in Bulawayo has been closed for a number of days now. So you can imagine the amount of suffering that the closure of the outpatients department at Mupilo would give to outlying areas in Matabeleland region.
That was MDC T spokesperson Obed Gutu in Harare speaking with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
We wish to apologize to our listeners for airing a wrong show yesterday. We will, however, continue to give you top quality news every day.
Today marks the end of the Easter holiday and thousands of people are going back to work. Easter is associated with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christians in Zimbabwe and other people celebrate Easter. We reached some Zimbabweans and some of our listeners, and this is what they had to say about Easter.
Hello, listeners. This is Temanzo Nenda, representing Varume Shinurai Vukani Madoda Men's Forum Trust of Zimbabwe. We just want to urge everybody to enjoy their Easter in happiness and in blessings, and we hope everybody stays peaceful and in Christianity. We all love each other as we live and love together.
My name is Sam Tikomboni. I live in Kwekwe, so I'm happy for this Easter. And I'm saying a greeting to Komboni family and Ibondo family, Baze family, and all others, my friends.
My name is Joyce Zinume. I'm in South Africa, but I'm from my original country, Zimbabwe. I'd like to say Happy Easter to all my family, my friends, and I'd like them to enjoy their Easter holiday, remembering that Jesus Christ died for us and He is going to arise again.
Those were Easter greetings from some of our Studio 7 listeners who were expressing their views on Easter. At the same time, some ministers of religion expressed hope for Zimbabwe, which is facing serious social, economic and political problems. Life coach, author and pastor Vukani Ladla of Global Hope Ministry says government should create more platforms where religious leaders can use their influence to bring serenity and hope to the Zimbabwean people in these trying times. He tells Studio 7's Chuoniso Jani, renewal of the mind is key to creating a progressive Zimbabwe.
To pastors and motivational speakers, life coaches, success coaches, they need to get a platform where they can speak into the nation using media platforms. And, you know, the government just has to come on board and support such initiatives, because what you hear controls your thinking. What you see also controls your thinking. So if media outlets could be availed to people that have got great experience and great exposure in teaching mind renewal, I believe that's one strategy that we can deploy. Another strategy that we can deploy is to take some of our very best students in small segments where the government can actually fund them to do exposure trips, where they go to nations like China, like Singapore, the United States, and see how certain things are done, and then they are then brought back into the country and given a platform to implement what they have seen, because what you see also controls or has the power to influence the way that you think. So we can also and create all these strategies where our students can be exposed. So I believe that the government needs to give us a bigger platform for us to be able to do that, because if the church was out of the equation, right now, I'm telling you, we have serious problems in the nation of civil unrest and so forth. But people are becoming more calm and they're stable because they are going to church.
That was Vukani Ladla, a life coach, author and pastor of Global Hope Ministries, speaking with Studio 7.
Young people out there, are you concerned about the many issues that affect you and Zimbabweans in general? Rise to the occasion. Make an impact. Let your voice be heard, and let's get talking on The Connection.
We cover a range of issues that affect young people. including unemployment, health, education, politics, and much, much more.
I am Tatenda Gumbo.
And I'm Chungamili Nkomo.
And we are the hosts for your number one youth forum, The Connection. Join us tomorrow on The Connection when we will be discussing the issue of HIV at institutions of higher learning.
To get involved, send us a message with the hashtag TheConnection on WhatsApp. The number is 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
a closer look at mother-to-child HIV transmission in Zimbabwe.
And we have more details on the outcome of the Warriors' match today.
Stay tuned.
But first, we take a look at regional and international news.
Pakistan is mourning the death of at least 70 people in Sunday's Taliban suicide bombing in the eastern city of Lahore, targeting Christians.
Brussels federal prosecutors say today they have charged three people with involvement in a terrorist group.
Cuba's aging revolutionary Fidel Castro is signaling his continued resistance to smoother relations with the United States, telling Washington, quote, "We do not need the empire to give us any presence," end quote.
Even as the frenzy of the U.S. presidential primaries seems to be slowing down, the fight for the Republican and Democratic nominations continues to escalate. Democratic frontrunner, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, was delivered a bruising by rival Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders Saturday when he swept caucuses in Washington, Hawaii, and Alaska.
And Syria's army says the recapture of Palmyra would be a launching point for expanded operations against the Islamic State group, while the country's antiques chief declared the already historic site will carry even greater significance as a survivor of the militants' campaign. Zimbabwe's health ministry says it is committed to reducing mother-to-child HIV transmission from 7% to zero in the next 2 years and has put in place programs to ensure that the commitment is realized. Dr. Angela Mushavi, the National Prevention of Mother-to-Child Transmission and Pediatric HIV Care and Treatment Coordinator in the Health Ministry, tells Studio 7 it is imperative for families, especially women, to go for early HIV testing. Dr. Mushavi says this will ensure that they are put on early treatment and have a chance to give birth to children who are HIV negative.
We have seen some tremendous progress in Zimbabwe as we scale up our programs to eliminate mother-to-child transmission of HIV. And in fact, in much the same way that Cuba was declared the first country to eliminate new HIV infections by the World Health Organization, we can say that in Zimbabwe, we are doing the preparatory steps towards certification. As I said, the mother-to-child transmission rate has gone down to less than 7%. And so we need to work hard this year to get to less than 5%.
What are some of the steps that you are taking as the health ministry in the country to try and get this percentage to continue going down?
We have to focus on policies that are not performing as well as they should. By this I mean, you know, for us to reach certification, we have to reach 95% of all pregnant women with antenatal care services. And when they present to our clinics, then we have to test 95% of them for HIV. And in those that are found to be HIV positive, then we commence them on lifelong antiretroviral treatment, and our coverage must be up to 90%. So right now we are working to improve our process indicators, as I explained, and so it will take about a year for us to get to those milestones.
Some may be listening out there. If you can just explain to us, what is mother-to-child transmission? You, in the past, have been urging a lot of women to get tested, and especially pregnant women. Please tell us, what's the importance of them getting tested?
The importance of a pregnant woman knowing her HIV status is that if she happens to be HIV positive, we have medications, antiretroviral medicines that we can give to her to prevent the HIV virus from passing on from the mother to the baby. And the HIV virus, if the mother is HIV positive, can pass on to the baby when the mother is pregnant, or it can go to the baby at the time of labor and delivery, and sometimes even during the breastfeeding period. So it is important very early on in a woman's pregnancy to get tested, because if she's positive, we can start her right away on antiretrovirals, and this will reduce the risk of the virus passing on to the unborn baby and even passing on to the baby during the breastfeeding period.
There are some HIV-positive women who ask, is it possible for them to give birth to a child who's HIV negative? What steps should they be taking?
Definitely. And we have seen, like when I say that the mother-to-child transmission rate is now less than 7%, what it means is if you took 100 HIV-positive pregnant women and we did nothing, then 30 to 40% of them, or 30 to 45 out of 100 HIV-positive women would pass the HIV virus to their children. With antiretroviral treatment, what we are calling Option B+, we can reduce that number to only less than 5 women out of the 100 women that are HIV-positive passing the virus on to their baby. That is if we don't do other things. So the risk can reduce very significantly. And what we are saying is we need to reduce the rate of mother-to-child transmission, or the number of women passing on the virus to their babies, to less than 5 out of 100 women that are HIV-positive. Now, for us to be able to achieve that, then it is critical that women come into antenatal care early, they get tested early, and then they are started on lifelong antiretrovirals, which they continue to take even after the baby is born, during the breastfeeding period, and they even continue after the breastfeeding period. And that protects them should they have another baby and another baby. And what we are seeing is quite a significant number of women have had 2-3 children that are being born HIV negative, and if they themselves are living with HIV.
That was Dr. Angela Mushavi, the National Prevention of Mother-to-Child Transmission and Pediatric HIV Care and Treatment Coordinator in the Ministry of Health, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
People with disabilities have urged the government to enact laws that ensure their economic empowerment on an equal basis with other citizens. Our correspondent Safari Njema has more details from Harare.
People with disabilities say economic and political empowerment is important because it enables them to live productive and dignified lives. 34-year-old Masimba Kuchera is visually impaired and walks with the aid of a white cane. Kuchera, who runs his own company in Harare, says there is need for legislation to reward companies that employ people with disabilities.
The suggestion is that the government moves to give a tax incentive to companies so that they employ a certain quota of people with disabilities, so that those people are able to contribute to the economy, and then they are charged the pay as you earn, and they also pay the other taxes that are available.
Kuchera says there should also be legislation to ensure government gives a certain quota of supply contracts to companies run by people with disabilities. His views are shared by Nigel Gweshe, a visually impaired music producer from Bulawayo, who says people with disabilities should be assisted to become employers through the enactment of pro-disability policies. He says this is in line with the United Nations Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities, which calls for their active participation in human, social, and economic development of society.
Normally, the help that is given to the disabled ones is mostly to do with food and shelter. We need a kind of kickstart whereby you'll be given material or inputs to do your own things. You might create employment, like my studio I'll be employing, thereby recording artists as well.
44-year-old Tonga Ichinaire is also visually impaired. The father of three makes a living through vending on the streets of Harare. He says there is need for policies that encourage funding for individuals with disabilities.
Currently, the economy is down, if I'm being given the unemployment benefit, blind people can start from there. For example, one can go and buy and sell his products. You start from there. Remember, a small leak sinks a big ship. So whatever I get from you, I'll be also in position to do something.
According to Harare Provincial Administrator Alfred Tome, there are policies that take care of people with disabilities, but a lot needs to be done at the level of implementation.
We have created the law, we have created the constitution, and a well-abled constitution, a well-constructed constitution. But what is remaining now is to translate that into reality and be honest with ourselves, be patriotic, be really concerned about these people who are living with disability. Let us walk the talk.
Senator Nyamayavo Mashavakure, who represents people with disabilities in the Senate, argues that disabled people should involve themselves in all activities at national and local level if society is to take them seriously.
Include yourselves, empower yourselves, make yourself accessible to society, to national programming, to national budgeting. In other words, specialize in yourself, study yourself, represent yourself, advocate your own concerns and your own issues.
21-year-old Fungai Mutoko, who works with the aid of crutches, recently completed her ordinary level studies in Zimbabwe. She says Parliament should come up with the laws that empower women with disabilities and also change public perception of such people.
We won't be seen as beggars, because most of people living with disabilities, they walk in streets, sit alongside roads, begging for money and so on. So if we start our own things, it will be better, because if someone sees you, you can say, oh, that beggar, and they won't be happy seeing you every day begging for money.
Aspiring actress Nozi Potusi says Parliament should seriously debate the plight of women with disabilities and ensure that measures are put in place to improve their livelihood.
They've got different talents, but now on how they can do with those talents, they need someone who can empower them, someone who can give them capital. They have the capital, then they can start to do such as maybe sewing, plaiting hairs, maybe even singing. It's something that you can do, and singing can bring something that you can live on.
Secretary for the Disabled in the ZANU-PF Politburo, Joshua Malinga, says platforms have been created for the disabled to participate politically and economically, but the beneficiaries are taking a back seat.
We have created positions at almost every level, at every organ of the party. You are not there. You are not organizing yourself. Disabled people are 15% of the population of this country. You are a very important constituency. You are voters. Why should you vote if you get nothing?
According to the United Nations, 80% to 90% of persons with disabilities of working age in developing countries are not gainfully employed. The World Body says social protection and quota systems can provide strong leverage for their economic empowerment. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, I am Safari Njema.
And in sports news, Zimbabwe Warriors today thrashed Swaziland 4-0 in the African Nations Cup in Harare today. The determined Warriors, who lost 1-0 to Swaziland a few days ago, outclassed the Swazi national squad in all departments.
And now to recap today's top stories.
President Robert Mugabe pleads with Japanese investors to do business with Harare.
Zimbabwe has been urged to craft laws for the economic empowerment of people with disabilities.
And the Zimbabwe Warriors thrashed Swaziland 4-0 in an Africa Nations Cup match.
And remember, for Live Talk, we are discussing the soccer match that was played between Swaziland and Zimbabwe. That's it for tonight. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.